There's a truth about life, and it's this. You can spend your entire life waiting for permission. It's not something you want to do, but it's something so many of us do. Do you sometimes feel that you're caught in just that circumstance? Seems to me that a lot of people that I meet are in that circumstance. They're looking for somebody, someone else, to give them permission to live their lives in the fullest. Looking for someone to change what's wrong in their lives. Looking for someone who will do something creative to make their lives better. Someone who will take charge and make it easy for them to improve their lives. They're spending their lives waiting for permission to really live life. Let me tell you three quick stories. The first is, I want to introduce you to my Aunt Phil, Aunt Phyllis. She was a wonderful woman. She helped raise me, and she lived in the house where I was raised for many years before she did get married and moved out. But Phyllis was, more than anything else, a magnificent businesswoman well before it was appropriate for women to be good businesswomen. And she had a very successful a career. But as I got older and I talked with her, she told me frequently that while she enjoyed doing what she was doing, she really wanted to work for the church. She really wanted to serve the church. Well, there came a point in my life where, because of the connections that I had made in the national church, that I was able to provide her with an opportunity to do that. I had arranged through channels for her to have an interview to serve as the business manager at the Redbird Mission. Now, maybe some of you have heard of it. It's a great ministry in Appalachia, down in one of the most poverty-stricken areas of Kentucky. And at that point, Phil began to make excuses about why she couldn't go. This and that, one thing and another. And eventually, that opportunity slid through her fingers. And she regretted it for the rest of her life. She was looking for somebody to give her permission to say yes. She didn't find it. Another person that I know, also from my hometown. My hometown was a steel mill town, but in 1977 or so, this is a long time ago, the last of the steel mills closed. And I knew a man there named Bill, and I used to talk with him and ask him, well, what are you going to do now that the steel mills are closed? And you no longer have a place to go to work. He was 57 years old. And while we were talking over a period of time, he got a job offer to go and work at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Now, if it's me, I have a choice. Snowy, cold, rainy Johnstown steel mill. Bright, sunny, warm, beachside job in South Carolina. I go to South Carolina. Bill doesn't choose to do that. He says, oh, no. He says, I'm not going to go do that. And I said, but Bill, there's nothing, you know, here. You know they are. You can hear the conversation we had. But then finally, he looked me in the eye and he says, Jim, I am what I am. I'm a steel worker. So I'll just wait for the steel mills to open again. And of course, you can guess that the steel mills never opened again. And Bill spent the rest of his life sitting on his back porch, waiting for permission to go back to work. Then the third story is the one that Jillian just read for us. I always see these stories from the side, they catch me. Did you notice that this is a great story of Jesus' love and Jesus in action? So a woman who the Bible tells us was burdened by a spiritual problem, and it was so heavy and so great for her that even her body slumped. Jesus came, and in his touch and in his relationship with her, he healed her, and she was able to move on with her life. But there's one little thing in there. Did you notice that she had been carrying this burden around for 18 years? You know, and it just strikes me. I say, well, how is it that she couldn't have gotten rid of that burden sooner? Why did she have to lose 18 years of her life? Well, I think all three of those stories suggest that one of the problems that we have is that, for so many of us, is that we sit around and wait for somebody else's permission to really live our own lives. You don't think we do that? Well, listen to these words. I've never done it that way before. I'd be glad to do something, but no one will tell me what to do. You know, I'd like to change my life, but I really can't. There's just too many obstacles to getting it done. I can't do that. I can't take the risk. I might fail. How could I ever be forgiven for what I've done? No, I'll just stay here and be and do what I am. I am what I am. So many of us wait for approval by some other person, by some law, by something, by some outside force to change our lives. But what this story tells us in Luke today is that permission has already been given to you. The good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel tells us, sets us free. It unchains us. It relieves us of our burdens. It forgives us. It encourages us. It inspires us. It challenges us. It motivates us. It saves us. It gives us permission to live, to really live. Bishop John Shelby Spong, who's teaching up at Pacific School of Religion this month and who lectured over in Pleasanton the other night at the Methodist Church over there. He's an Episcopal bishop, by the way, and he is loved by many and despised by others because of his take on the gospel. But one of the things he's been saying lately is, he says, Christians rightfully focus on the issue of salvation for our souls. That's part of the good news. He says, what we forget is that the other part of the good news is that God calls us through Jesus Christ to wholeness of our lives and our living. We are called to really live, to be whole, to use and experience and enjoy all that God has given us. Jesus Christ has given us permission to live, really live. What does that mean? Well, I could have picked a couple dozen things to say, but let me just offer you three quick ones. I think what it means to really live is that Jesus gives us permission to forgive. Jesus gives us permission to forgive other people of their stupidity. Gives us permission to be free from being irritated by other people. And Jesus also gives us permission to forgive ourselves. gives us permission to forgive ourselves for our failures. Jesus also gives us permission to do what is right. And that is, no matter how much the temptation is, we can openly and honestly live lives that are kind and good. We don't have to let other things stop us from being that way. And we're given the permission to do what is right, to challenge the things in our world that is wrong. In the Mercury News the other day, I was pleased to see a letter to the editor from Mark Borwinkel, who's the pastor up the road at Los Altos United Methodist Church. Now, you know there was a big argument about some of the judgmental language that's in the rules of the United Methodist Church, particularly concerning gay and lesbian persons. Well, Mark and his church council leader wrote this letter. It said, "The church council and pastoral staff of the Los Altos United Methodist Church reject the recent decisions by the United Methodist General Conference to continue to withhold fundamental rights and privileges from the gay and lesbian community. We believe that all persons are children of God, and we welcome all, regardless of age, cultural background, disabilities, ethnicity, financial circumstances, gender identity, marital status, or sexual orientation. Instead, we affirm the words of Micah 6:8, and what does the Lord require of you but to act justly and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Yeah. They caught on that God gives us permission to do what is right. And then I want you to know that Jesus also gives us permission to start over. This is one of the key tenets, I think, of the gospel. It is never too late to start over. God gives us constantly a new beginning, a new start, a new opportunity, and the strength to grab onto them, to make the most of them, and to celebrate them. Now, in traditional language, what this might sound like is to say that our God turns sorrow into joy, problems into opportunities, defeats into victories, death into life. And in my language of today, God gives us permission to live, really live. And so today I just offer you this. You have a choice to make. You can spend your life waiting for permission to fully energize and actualize your life. Or you can realize today that Jesus has already given you that permission and you can live. Really live in the light of his teaching and his leadership. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, help us to make the right choice. Help us not only to follow you, but to do it joyously. Help us to live our lives unfettered, unburdened by all the baggage we carry around. Help us to be joyful for you. In Jesus' name, amen.